Lines are now merged.
Great, thank you. Okay, this is David Corus, Chair of the Finance Committee. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 10:02 a.m. I'm going to start with roll call in no particular order. Paul Hinch.
Here.
Doug DeLena.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Okay, and we do not expect Tom Patton with the four of us. That is quorum. I'll start with the next item on the agenda, which is approval of the July 18th Finance Committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion, David.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Doug. Any comments, questions, requested changes? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay, that is unanimous. We'll now move on to public comment. Please open up the line, and a reminder, folks, to press *6 to unmute your line.
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to speak.
Yep, go right ahead, Mr. Blacker.
So let's see, a couple of issues that I hope are going to be raised at this meeting. Everybody read the reporting from the press. All the outlets covered it. The audit that came out, and the headlines varied from they blasted you guys or that your contracting process was unfair. As I understood it, there was a $800,000 contract awarded to AECOM, or that's how it was reported, without a bid opening. That contract then grew to $2.4 million. And the work of that company is largely what justified, the changes down there at State Pier. I'd like to remind anybody on the call and this finance board that it was the no-bid hiring of Andrew Levine that broke the rules, that brought him in, Henry Wan, hiring, of his company, Seabury, also broke the rules, resulted in $18,500 fine, as well as the other fines to Seabury there. So I'm hoping you guys are going to have some response and that it's going to be better than, well, that was before our time, or, oh, that was a previous administration, or, oh, we've cleaned up our act, because clearly you haven't. I mean, everything was built on that judgment, and it's no surprise to anybody with a rational mind why the project costs down there have just exploded and will continue to grow. Also hope you guys are going to touch on Joe Salvatore leaving. It was confirmed by the executive director late last week that Joe Salvatore has returned to DOT. The explanation I heard from Ulysses Heyman that he had been on loan and just had decided to go back. It doesn't, when you consider the timing of the audit and Joe's, character, which I think he was one of the people that actually knew what he was doing, and now he's left. Your finance director left. Your staff, your director of special projects left. Your executive director, John Henshaw, left. And it doesn't take much imagination to understand why. Nobody wants to be associated with an organization that is just unethical, which you guys are. So just going to continue to, chip away at you guys until I knock you down. And we'll close by saying I'm strongly opposed to the State Pier project. Thank you.
Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Any other members of the public? Reminder to press *6 to unmute your line.
Hello.
Okay, that'll end public comment period. You know, I'll just make a note for the public that if you're interested in the contents of the audit.
All participants are muted and they can unmute themselves.
If you're interested in the content of the audit, I encourage you to read it. It's an audit that we're very proud of. It showed that from 2020 to 2021, we closed out 10 out of the 11 of the items identified in the previous audit period. And I think that demonstrates that the audits are working. They identify challenges and problems with policies and procedures, which were subsequently rectified. We'll now move on to the next item on the agenda, financial update. Ulysses and Fiola, I'll hand it over to you two.
Okay. I'm going to be turning this over directly to Fiola, who is, of course, had only less than really a month to actually go over all of our finances, but has gone over everything with a fine-tooth comb, I must say. She's jumped into this with both feet and has also made what I consider to be an improvement to our reporting because she also has put really all of the operating budget really on one sheet. And everything that we need in terms of backup is on subsequent sheets. But she's been able to basically just now really reduce everything to one sheet in case anyone wants to see this in terms of just one bird's eye view. So let me turn it over to Fiola to actually provide an update of our finances for July.
Good morning, all. As Ulysses said, I'm trying to compile the financials in a way that it'll be easier to read. Starting with July 2023, the beginning of the fiscal year 2024, income for the period, impact gateway fee, $81,000, pilotage commission, $21,000. Totaling $102,000. General operations expenditure, salaries and benefits, $62,288. Contractual services, $32,428. And administrative and general expenses, $86,900. Other, $579,000. A change in net position for general operations amounting to $417. Other revenue and expenditure, capital contribution from state, $30 million. Interest income for CT funded, $22,385. Interest income from peer partners, $10,995. Expenditure insurance for the NLSP, $13,361. And lease rent, $49,213. A total change in net position for other, $29,970,806. Total change in net position combination of the two items, $29,971,223. A description, a detailed listing of all expenditure for the items stated will be on the notes 1-6 on the adjoining pages. Can everyone hear me?
Yep. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yep.
After the revenue and expenditure, we have the CMR bid package as supplied by Ecom.
Okay, before you go to that, Bill,
the balance sheet?
Yeah, any questions first around the
revenue and expenditure, sorry.
Yep.
Hold on. What were you saying, David?
Just first, whether or not there's any questions on the operating budget summary or detail for revenue and expenditures, pages, you know, one through three.
Mm-hmm. I guess, is there a legal line here?
For legal
services?
legal fees, but there was not any legal fees. You'll have to go to page 2, the second page.
Okay, the 19,000?
19,134.
And that I have a question about that number, because that can't be correct for internal. That must be a combination of internal and external.
No, not external. It's just not.
It's not possible. There's absolutely.
It's actually a combination of internal and core, which has to be split. I have acknowledged, recognized that. Let me give the exact breakdown for the.
I mean, basically what that's saying is
that it's actually showing us 19,133 in full, David.
Pardon? Say again what you just said. I didn't hear what you said.
19,133 for the fiscal year 2023 is 19,133.
Our budget is $20,000, I think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not right. I mean, there's absolutely no way that we spent $19,000 on legal this month. I mean, we know that that's not possible. It's possible that that's the cumulative expenditure across internal, external, and port.
David, excuse, I'll have to pull the invoices directly to see the allocations were done.
Yeah.
Correctly, but as it is on the statements, all were applied to internal.
I guess we ought to see a breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, Ulysses, what was legal expenses this month? I mean, we didn't have any internal expenses of any significance.
Right. We'll get a breakdown
from
the invoices and for you on this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's Phil's first time seeing those invoices and coding them, so it doesn't surprise me.
No, I don't do the coding, actually, David. So,
okay.
But I would pull the invoices directly and find out why it was allocated all to internal. That's why I can't give the exact reason for the 19,134. Any other questions regarding the revenue and expenditure?
Tell me about the on that page 2, we have payroll salaries of $35,958.
Yes.
Is that in addition to the $60,288 on page 1?
So this is a breakdown of the $60,288. So if you...
Oh, okay. I got you. Yes, I see. Okay. Thank you.
Other questions or comments?
One other thing. Do we have somewhere in this report what our cash balances are at, on this month?
So the cash balances will be seen on the balance sheet, which we would reach subsequently.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions about the monthly report on revenues and expenditures, the P&L? Okay. And then the next report is one we've seen every month related to the port breakdown, so maybe balance sheet is right after that, if you have... Bailey, want to walk us through the balance sheet?
Yes, that's an answer. So the balance sheet, you'll have your traditional assets, liabilities, and your net position as at July 31st, 2023. Starting with your assets, you have your current assets of cash and cash equivalents. This is basically funds that will be in our operating bank account. And the STIF account, the $100 from the STIF. which will be 1.547334. Restricted cash, which will be all the funds held in our Webster accounts and the Essex bond account, will be 37,987,390. Due from State of Connecticut, which will be the net of total core IMTL and the dot core for the salary contributions. That is 423,045. Deposits and prepaid expenses, 27,573. The majority of the deposits and prepaid expenses will be insurance prepaid for the remaining period. Non-current assets, net of depreciation, $256,198,874. Right to use assets, 6.358201. Total assets, $302,542,417. Liability.
Viola, would you say we are now completely? I mean, we've been transitioning from cash to accrual. Would you say we are now completely on an accrual basis, or is there still some transitioning going on?
There are still some transitioning happening.
Okay.
Yes. Majority in terms of the expenses has transitioned. We have to get the income side into the career.
Yes. Okay.
Moving on to current liabilities, accounts payable $34,699. Grants payable, that will be note 7, where you'll see a listing behind. That will be $23,965,785. Retainage payable, this is the amount due to Kiewit, $7.8 million. Unearned revenue, $4.617619. Lease liability current, $183,217. Accrued expenses and other, $11,629. Total non-current, lease liability long term, $5.781282. Total liabilities, $42,423,419. Resulting in net assets, $260,118,998. Net position as of June 30, 2023, $230,147,775. Change in net position. This change in net position will correlate to the figure you see on your revenue and expenditure page, that net 299,71223, and those two figures will have your net position as of July 31st, 2023 of $260,118,998. I'm not sure if everyone saw that figure on the page of revenue and expenditure.
So, Viola, I have one question. The restricted cash item that of $37 million, is that cash in our account, right? I understand
that
it's restricted.
That is cash in the Webster accounts, yes.
Yes, okay. It's not something we're looking for. It's in our hands.
It's in our hands.
Okay.
All right,
cool.
This is... the $24 million line there, John, that's mostly ship, for example, right? Money that we have but is fully committed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The $7.8 million, that's retainage for Kiewit, right? It's money that they've earned on work that they've already performed, but we're holding it as retainage.
Mm-hmm.
So, et cetera, et cetera.
Is that we're holding it for retainage because it hasn't been completed, the work, or not up to our standards, or what's the reason?
No. Just we retain a percentage of every invoice until the project's complete.
I'm with it.
As is typical, you know, for construction.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Bill.
you want to, I don't think we need to go through note seven. We've seen that before, but, you know, I think I like the way Fayola has organized this, right? We now have the summary sheet up front and then the backup behind it, including this, you know, core balance backup with all the capital accounts. Any other questions or comments on the monthly report before we move on to the quarterly report, which we would need to approve for submission? Okay, Phil, why don't you walk us through the quarterly report?
Okay, so the OFA quarterly report is a summary of movement in our bond funds for the quarter. So this will be for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, as well as covering for the 12 months ending that period as well. So the first one is our general operation funds, which generally coincides with the movement in our bank account. So we have movements for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, starting at $1.4 million. Funds received during that quarter, $619,921. Expenditure paid during the period, $528,794. And balance as at the end of that quarter, $1.543,267. For the 12 months, you would have had the statement starting at $1.9 million. Funds received during that period, $870,234. Expenditure paid during the year, $1.237,282. Ending with the same balance, $1.543,267. The second fund is our .core appropriation for salaries and benefits. Balance as at start of period, zero. Funds received for the quarter, $40,000. For the year, $400,000. Expenditure for the quarter, $219,512. And for the 12 months, $874,540. Balance as at the end of the period, zero. As in this fund, we settle the excess with core. The core bond projects, balance at the start of the quarter, $11.8 million. Allocations received for the period, $35 million. This is for the quarter. For the 12 months, it will be $35,143,321. Expenditure for the period, quarter, $281,229. For the 12 months, $1.850,328. And balance at the end of the period, $46,573,804. And the New London State Pier project, this is just general information relating to the project being reported. Funding received for the quarter, $53,750 million. For the 12 months, $281,351,000. Encumbered non-construction costs for the quarter, $1,350,563. And for the 12 months, $31,119,277. Encumbered construction costs for the quarter, $23,750,000, and then for the 12 months, $249,147,147. Total cost, that is encumbered non-construction and construction, for the quarter, $25,100,563, and for the 12 months, $280,266,424. Total of funding available as at June 30th, 2023,
$1.084,576. Phil, I just have two questions.
Sure.
So one is on the final section there, the state peer section, that second column is not 12 months. It's since the start. It's just cumulative across the whole project,
you are
right?
Correct.
Okay.
You are correct. As at, as of June 30th.
Yeah.
That is not a
okay. And then on the core, so why is the quarter end balance for the core bond projects at $46 million compared to the prior report note 7 breakdown of core projects at $23 million? Obviously, it's a month later, but what represents that change?
The $23 million. On the financials.
Yes.
Okay, the $23 million represents the grants payable that are, how to say, promised or funded. That does not take. That $30 million came in July on our side, and this is as of June on their end. The changes would have occurred within July. That's $7 million.
David, what are you referencing to $23 million?
Pardon?
On the prior report, which shows the on the prior page, which is the breakdown of the core accounts for grants payable, which corresponds to note 7, the cumulative total of that is 24. And I'm trying to rationalize that with the core bond balance at the end of the fourth quarter in the OFA report.
Yes, that's what I tried to put here.
I thought maybe it had to do with the $30 million in bond funds from the state flowing through there, but that wasn't approved by bond commissions until 6/30, and so that didn't enter the core account until July. So
well,
that would
it's on the core account as of June. It did not enter our account as of July.
So that shows up in the core account on June 30th, the day that it was approved by bond commission?
That it shows up. That is part of the 35. So on the report, where you see for the quarter ended.
Okay. Well, that makes that makes up more than the difference. I would think then the balance on this report would be 56 then instead of 46 or something like that.
On which report?
The OFA report. The OFA, the OFA core summary, because
you would think it would be
well, because it would be the cumulative of the grants payable balance of 24 plus whatever we, you know, plus the $30 million that flowed through that account, plus, I don't know.
There's a change of 22.5 that came in July on the core account. So there's a net change there, but there's $30 million that $30 million would contribute as part.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to understand why then the OFA report wouldn't be 23.978, which is the core bond account balance for grants payable, plus the 30 that had landed that day from bond commission.
Mm-hmm. Let me look into that, David.
So what you're saying, David, is the balance at the end of the period for the core bond projects ought to look more like 56?
I would think so, because if it's the balance that we're seeing on that prior report, the 23.9 plus the 30, it should be, you know, and then there's a little bit of activity, you know, up and down, so it wouldn't be exactly that, but it would be that order of magnitude, I would think.
But the 46 actually released the core report, David.
Right. No, I understand.
That's correct.
Yeah. I understand. I just don't.
I know.
I don't understand that relative to all the other reports and numbers that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see the balance at the start of the period, the 11 plus the 35. I mean, I get the internal math on the OFA report.
Let me delve into that deeper, David.
Sure. I mean, this would have to be approved by the whole board anyways, mm-hmm. and we're not, you know, we wouldn't have a quorum today, so I think I would say let's hold it till we figure that out, and we'll approve it at our next meeting. Unless anyone has an issue with that. I mean, we're so close. I want to get it right.
Okay.
Just a suggestion in terms of, can we put on page numbers when we have the statement of revenue and expenditures for the months? Can we do page one, page two, page three? Is that too much to ask for?
I will make that adjustment for the next one.
Be great.
All right. Any other comments or questions from anyone before we close out the update discussion? I'll say again, Phil, I like the report style. I think we're getting very close to where we should be, but this is a really helpful format.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
I just want to make one comment for the benefit of the committee. We have some exciting activity taking place down at the pier. The first blades and nacelles, which is really the generators, they're being delivered right now. That ship is docking, and so we will have blades, nacelles, and towers ready for assembly at the State Pier. I just wanted to give everyone an update in terms of something very exciting taking place in the state of Connecticut right now.
Ulysses, how many men are working on the pier? Do you have any sense of the quantity of jobs right there now?
Yes, we do. We have roughly about three dozen right now, but that's going to increase significantly once the Revolution Wind project kicks off in the spring of next year. So we will be, you know, in a neighborhood of anywhere between 80 to 120 employees once we get full in full production in terms of Revolution Wind. This particular project, which is South Fork, it only requires about 12 turbines, but Revolution Wind will gear up to 100 turbines. So we will have a very, very significant increase in the a number of jobs and workers on site.
So the layout that we have on the pier right now, that's essentially for 12 towers, is that it?
That's what we are gearing. All of the parts have not arrived yet for all 12. But we have enough right now for eight towers. Yes, we have enough now for eight towers.
And do we have real estate for more?
Yes, we do have. We can still accommodate more there. It's just a matter now of when we can get deliveries from overseas. So we have, we have capacity, but it all depends now on the deliveries.
Gotcha.
Okay. Any thanks, Ulysses, for the update. Any old business? Okay. Any new business? All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move, David.
Move by John. Is there a second? I'll second, and meeting's adjourned. 10:38. All right. Thanks, everyone.